As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and the first section in the 35th verse. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Chapter 6, the Gospel of John, the first section in the 35th verse. The subject is one of unspeakable importance, and I do desire that God will help you, dear young people, to realize it. In the same chapter, the dear Savior declares, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And now that is a matter which you need divine aid to contemplate. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at the subject from three or four viewpoints of it, and first of all, to be helpful in approaching it, I will look at the setting of it, and in the context you find that Jesus Christ had fed 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. It was a great miracle that Jesus wrought then. The Word of God says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And now this great miracle made an impression, a great impression, on those that participated in the benefit of it, but it does not seem, reading the chapter down, that it made a very lasting impression. And now, the Word of God says that when the people on the day following saw that Jesus was not where they expected he would be, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And now Jesus Christ, being who he was, verily God and omniscient, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And now that teaches us what it is to eat of this bread. It is to believe in Jesus Christ and find in him all our salvation and all our desire. And then Jesus, speaking to the multitude, drew a contrast between that bread which they had eaten on the day before, the bread which perisheth, and that bread which he is as the sinner's friend, and which all his dear people rejoice to find him to be. For the bread of God, mark that word in, bread of God, is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. And now that is the setting of the subject. And I do want to say something, as grace is given, that might be helpful and encourage you, dear young people. And it might be well, in approaching the subject, to begin with a question which I read to you from Isaiah's prophecy. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? I'm not making any reflections on you, dear young people, but as this is a young people's service and you come so well and you do listen well, you will expect that the pastor will be faithful and plain and say that which will stand you in good stead when you come to die. And now you know, without going into details, that you do spend a great deal of money for that which is not bread. What the Saviour meant in that question is that you spend your money to obtain this and that which cannot by any means whatever fit you for eternity. Much of your money that you spend comes in this category, after the flesh, the things of the flesh. Wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread? Because in spending your money, strictly speaking, you and all of us, old and young alike, should do it in eternity's light. Because there is a scripture which says, and it will be fulfilled in every jot and tittle, every one of us should give an account unto God. And in that reckoning, I judge, there will be misspent money. Money spent for that which is not for our profit, either in this life or that which is to come. I am reminded of a scripture in Haggai the prophet, where he says, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. And is that what any of you young people are doing in everyday life? Life is before you, and great opportunities. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? If you spend money, then it must be for that which will be for your good in this life and that which is to come, but most of all for the glory of God. And you know as well as I do, and I'm not fitting any caps on, that you do not think about the glory of God, some of you, when you spend your money. Or you would not spend it on some things that swallows it up. And now, I had no thought of beginning my address like that. But still, it will be well for you to get an answer before God in your conscience. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Because You are journeying through life, carrying within you an immortal soul. And now our souls, being immortal, do listen, can only feed upon immortal food. There is nothing that you can find in any earthly source, whatever, that can feed our souls and satisfy our souls and help us to feel that matters are right between our souls and God. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And now, how good it would be if God should give you, dear young people, a deep down hunger for this living bread that Jesus Christ is, and which he is so ready to dispense to poor sinners, young and old, in their felt need of it. May this my blessed experience be to hunger, Lord, and thirst for thee, and on thy righteousness to live, which can both food and comfort give. And now, looking at the subject of bread, living bread, I would say first of all a little how Jesus Christ is manifested as the bread of life. And you do not need the preacher to tell you that bread is said and is the staff of life. Go back to what I said earlier on. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I wonder if you, dear young people, ever think about the wonder of our daily bread on our tables. I judge the table is never spread without there is bread on it. And it is our staple food. And yet, you have lived your life so long, you have seen harvest time come and go. Did you ever pause before God and think of the wonder of it, the miracle of it? When Jesus bade the 5,000 to sit down in companies and spread abroad the 5 loaves to feed 5,000 and then so much left over, it was a straightforward miracle before their eyes. But then, so is harvest time. Look at the fields now, which later on in the year, if all is well, will be covered all over with gold and the ripened corn. And every day, every night, a process is going on. The earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There is something very striking about corn, which provides our food. Whatever the cereal may be, which provides our food, you will find that it is in this year, 1964, exactly the same as it was when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You read in the book of Genesis, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." And now, as wheat, barley, rye, rice, oats were then, in the day that God created them, so they are nowadays. There has been no evolution process whereby corn has become better than it was. In fact, it could be said that in some areas it is not quite so up to date and good as it was when it grew in Egypt and had 7 ears on a stalk. But corn, from the beginning of the creation, remains exactly the same. And you never find it wild. It must be cultivated by man. Because in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And God, in his wisdom and in his wondrous providence, has so ordained it that while it may be one type of corn will not grow so well in one part of the earth as another, God has ordained that in each area there shall be corn which shall grow to perfection, that man may have bread, so that we have the rice fields and we have wheat in our temperate zone, and we have rye also growing in colder climates, and there is maize that grows in abundance in the USA and round about that area, but it never grows wild. If a farmer should leave a field of wheat and let it go down and seed again, it would ultimately die right out. It never goes back to a wild state because it never had one in the beginning. But as it was, as it came from its Creator's hands, so you and I eat our bread made of it. Give us this day our daily bread. Do remember that. Here you see a miracle, and that is wrought before your eyes. Every year, when you see the word of God fulfilled, seed time and harvest shall not cease. And now coming to how Jesus Christ is manifested as the bread of life. And now, when Israel were in the wilderness, wandering there for 40 years, I do not need to take up time in going into details, but you will remember that God instituted how he was to be worshipped. And he gave to Moses the pattern of a tabernacle to be built, set up in the midst of Israel's camp, curtained around, setting forth the church of Christ and he whose church it is. And now in that tabernacle, in the holy place, there was beautiful furniture made according to the pattern that God showed to Moses in the mount. One of those pieces of furniture was called the showbread table. And now the word of God tells us how it was made. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. How wonderful it is how God goes into these details, and some of them are so minute as to measurements. The table was made of shittim wood, and now that is to teach us of the humanity of Jesus Christ, that he was verily man. Shittim wood was very, very fragrant and very enduring, a very hard wood. Needed much skill to work on it. But God ordained that the showbread bread table should be made of shittim wood. And as I have said, it sets forth Jesus Christ as verily man. But then it says that the table also was overlaid with gold. And there you see the deity of Jesus Christ. Yea, he is verily God, verily man. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And now, every Sabbath day, on that showbread table, while the worship of God was carried on in the wilderness, there were 12 loaves, each of them about 2 gallons in size. And they were placed on this showbread table, one for each tribe of Israel. 12 tribes and 12 loaves, a loaf for a tribe. And every Sabbath day onward, from the beginning of the worship of God like that, the old loaves were taken off, and they were the food for the priests. And new loaves were placed on to await the next Sabbath day, when they, in their turn, would be taken off. And now you read about that in the book of Leviticus. And thou shalt take fine flour, and shalt bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord. If I was preaching a sermon to the older people, I should have to turn aside and work out what I discerned there. 12 cakes for the 12 tribes. And now, when you think of the 12 tribes and those who were first of all the head of the tribes, whereby the tribes have got their names, you will find that the names of the people set forth somewhat of their character. You can read about that in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses goes through the 12 tribes of Israel and gives them a character before God, and Jacob on his dying bed did likewise. And now, Reuben, thou art unstable, thou shalt not excel, but you shall have bread to eat, and you shall live forever. When you die, you shall participate in the benefits and blessings of the showbread table. There shall be bread for Reubenites who are unstable, not to be depended on. Or it might be Gad. Gad, a troop shall overcome him. Gad had to live his life and was often in conflict, fighting Israel's enemies. But Gad, a troop, shall overcome him. He shall overcome at the last, if he does live a warrior's life. Yet he shall have bread to eat, and he shall live forever in eating it. And you could work out that line of thought for every one of the tribes of Israel, because you know, dear young people, well, how can you know, really? In a church of Christ, you must not think those who are members of it are just like angels dwelling together, because they are not. Oh, they are sinners, and they need grace to rise above all that they are by nature, that they might live in accordance with what they profess to be. But sometimes, what may be their natural temperament does get the better of them, and then mischief arises, and they are brought in guilty before God on account of it. But nevertheless, whatever their natural temperament may be, if they are called by grace, they have the privilege to draw near to the showbread table and eat of this bread, of which if any man eat, he shall live forever. Much might be said along that line of thought. And then there is this viewpoint of the showbread table, which I feel is very encouraging. When they took off the 12 loaves, which were a week old, ere they put on the new loaves for the week to come, the showbread table was sprinkled with blood to sanctify it in its further use, as often as the bread was laid thereon. And now, what does that teach us? One hymn writer says, I can have no access to God but through the merits of Christ's blood. And if any of you, dear young people, do feel before God as you are here that you have eaten of this bread, you would not like to say much about it, it may be as yet. Say something about it later on if all is well. But you have tasted a crumb or two of it. And now, if God has granted you that mercy that flows to you through what was done for you on Calvary's cross, when Christ died for our sins, when he shed his blood, that there might be a door of mercy opened in heaven, a way of access for poor sinners to draw near to God. You will never taste of this bread unless Jesus Christ did die in your stead on Calvary's cross. Remember that. Oh, that you might hunger for it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And now that showbread table with the 12 loaves on it set forth how Jesus Christ is manifested as the bread of life. And you will remember the psalmist says in one psalm of his, 132, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. And now the second viewpoint of the subject, I want to look at it in taking the word bread and giving you just another word for each letter of the word bread, which will help you to understand how it is that Jesus Christ is the living bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And now, you read in Isaiah, this is a very deep viewpoint of the subject, bread corn is bruised. And that is to teach us how it had to be made useful to be bread to eat. Bread corn is bruised. And you read in that tremendous chapter 53 in Isaiah's prophecy, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. You need to take your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground when you contemplate that. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. So that as the bread of life, Jesus Christ was made to be like the bread corn, which is bruised. What he endured, no tongue can tell, which must have sunk our souls to hell otherwise. But he lived his holy life and died his meritorious death. And he rose again from the dead and ascended up on high. And now he fills his word in every jot and tittle of it to every poor sinner whatever his or her age may be, I am the bread of life. Oh, that you might say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread whereby we can labor to fill our sphere in life, but bread which is immortal for our immortal souls. And now, these 12 loaves on the showbread table went by the name of presence bread. And it was also called the bread of blessing. And now, B stands for blessing. Blessing bread. And of a truth, if you and I are favored to eat of this bread that Jesus Christ is and our souls are fed, what an amazing blessing that is. You cannot earn it, you cannot buy it, you cannot merit it. But it comes from heaven according to the will of God concerning you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, B stands for blessing. And as the bread is to be eaten, you dear young people may inquire how that is to be done. It is as you are helped to hear the gospel preached, or to search the scriptures and read the word of God, and in reading you find your spiritual mind is instructed and fed. Think of Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if God should give you such ears, what you hear aright, you will assimilate in your spiritual mind, and it will become food, food for your soul, and you will live on that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And David said, I rejoice in thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. Oh, that you might say, and out of the abundance of the heart, speak such words. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. B for blessing. R stands for refreshment. And there you have an illustration of what this bread can do in refreshing poor sinners in their felt need of divine aid. And now, one of the most notable characters in the Old Testament was Elijah. And he was made so strong, having eaten of this bread of life, that he arose on God's behalf, and at God's behest, he put to death all the prophets of Baal. And then after that, he had a great reaction. And some of us who try to preach can enter into how Elijah felt. Because it often happens, if you get special help in preaching the gospel, that later on, and not so very much later either, you get a very great reaction in your mind, and you go down and you are just spent out, and you need the Lord to appear for you and give you some of that bread which you have distributed by his grace for other folk to eat and be strong in eating it. And now, Jezebel, a wretched woman, was Jezebel disgraced a womankind. She sent a messenger to Elijah and said that by this time tomorrow she would see that his life was taken. And now it says, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Follow this along, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough, now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too much for thee. And he arose and did eat, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. There you see how refreshing that bread was to good Elijah, and he was delivered from Jezebel's clutches. R stands for refreshment. And now we come to E. And that stands for energy. Bread which strengtheneth a man's heart. You will find when you look through the Old Testament records, and there are some beautiful accounts of how the godly did wondrous things in the name of the Lord, because they were strengthened with this bread, strengthened in the inner man. Think of David when he went forth to meet Goliath. What did he say? I come to thee in the name of the living God, and he will give thee to me. And as you all know, young David put great Goliath to death and triumphed, but it was in the name of the living God he did it, as he was strengthened with this spiritual energy, as well as natural boldness, whereby he could strike off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. Do remember that. And now in the book of Daniel, and you dear young people can keep this reference in your minds. In the book of Daniel, you read, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And you find in the history of the Church of Christ what great exploits they have done. You might go back to Old Testament times and think of Daniel himself in the lion's den. And now he was strengthened to be there and triumphed over all his circumstances. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. You can think of the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, when all that was burnt were the bonds that bound them, and they came forth delivered. But they went therein in that spiritual energy that God communicated as they partook of this living bread. And I like to think of Martin Luther on one occasion in his life when he had to appear before a great array of nobles to contend for the truth that God had made dear to his heart. And at the back of it all was the man of sin whom he had forsaken. And Martin Luther had to appear in the city of Worms. And as he was going on his way, there were some of his friends who sought to persuade him not to proceed any further, because they wondered if he would return alive. But Martin Luther had had to do with God about it. He had indeed been energized with this living bread. And he said, were there as many devils in Worms as a city, as there are tiles on the roofs of the houses, I would go. And he did go, and he returned. But he did it through God-given energy. The righteous is as bold as a lion. And so E stands for energy. Going back to that word in Daniel, I want you, dear young people, to register it, because we are nearing the time when that word will have its fulfillment, for it is prophetic truth. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, do wonderful things in that strength which God communicates, arising from eating of the bread of life. But remember how I quoted that, and how it is in the Word of God, the people that do know their God, do you? And now you get that matter settled between God and you. Because if you do not know God, then you will be as weak as water in the times that are yet to come, perilous times. Oh, do remember that. And do seek, as grace is given, that you might know God and find in him all your salvation and all your desire. And now we come to the letter A. And now that stands for abundance. I like to think of the prodigal son when he came to himself. It is a great thing when a prodigal son comes to himself. Until he does, he will be a prodigal. He will play the fool. He will not be told. No. But when he comes to himself, and when he begins to be in want, then he will find other thoughts welling up in his breast. And now the prodigal son in the parable that the Lord Jesus told, what did he say? In my Father's house there is bread enough and to spare. And now that is the truth of the matter. In the gospel of the grace of God, there is bread enough and to spare. Oh, how many hundreds of millions of poor sinners have eaten of the bread of life. And still you can sing, a fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure hath laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Oh, there is abundance of this living bread for poor sinners made hungry, desiring to partake of it. And now, in an old hymn book called Denham's Hymns, which you dear young people do not know anything about, there is a godly pastor named John Fawcett wrote a hymn on the bread of life, which I will read to you here, setting forth the abundance of the bread. Jesus, thou art the living bread, by which our needy souls are fed. In thee alone thy children find enough to fill the empty mind. Without this bread I starve and die. No other can my needs supply, but this will suit my sinful case, abroad at home in every place. 'Tis this relieves the hungry poor who ask for bread at mercy's door. This living food descends from heaven as manna to the Jews was given. This precious food my heart revives. What strength, what nourishment it gives. Oh, let me evermore be fed with this divine celestial bread. Enough and to spare, abundance thereof. Going back to that godly pastor who wrote that hymn, John Fawcett, he was a pastor in a Baptist church at Hebden Bridge in Yorkshire. And while he had been there some years, and his ministry much owned of God, he had a call to go to a large church in London. And after a while he felt that he would accept the invitation to go. And the time came when he was to leave Ebden Bridge, and the furniture vans were all packed up with his goods, and all his people came in a great throng around him and his family circle, expecting to say goodbye. And when John Fawcett saw them, his heart so overflowed with love to think that they felt his going away so deeply that he said, "Unpack the furniture, I shall not go, I will live and die at Hebden Bridge." And that is what he did. And it was that John Fawcett who wrote that hymn on the bread of life, which I read to you. We now come to the letter D. And now that stands for delight. Oh, how delighted you would be, some of you, older people too, as well as young, if you could be favored to eat of this bread of life and find your soul fed thereby, so that you had some tokens for good, some help by the way, a well-grounded hope in God. Delight. And now that reminds me of another hymn, which I will read as I come to the Amen. And I want to make this plain. Bread, to do you good, must be eaten. And now in this chapter it says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger." So that coming to God, like the woman in the gospel, falling down at Jesus' feet, she told him all the truth. And she got good for her soul. Coming unto God, and he that believeth, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. It is believing, coming to God, waiting on him, waiting for him, and going on your way, helped with a little help. And now there is another hymn I want to read to you and conclude my address at this time. And I do hope that God will help you, dear young people, to ponder these words, and that they might become a living desire in your soul. Break thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. God, in his infinite mercy, grant you, dear young people, a sure hunger for it, and satisfy that hunger. And if he is pleased to do that for you, and he would do it if you seek him aright, desiring his divine aid, that you might partake thereof. If he should be pleased to bless you, and you eat of this living bread, then, come what will, living and dying, it shall be well. Amen.
Hymn number 979 in the band. Tune, Barnes Pope, number 200. Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen. You do not need me to tell you that there is to be a collection for the Save the Children Fund. The amount at last Young People Service collection was just £20, and that was very good indeed. The Lord help you this evening to do what you feel to be right in His sight, and bless you in what you do.